Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk about dealing with ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Some call it ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. I think they themselves call it Islamic State, or at least that's what Robert Spencer calls it. And meanwhile, our guest is Colonel John Warden III, who actually was involved in 250 combat missions in Vietnam. He's an author, and he's appeared on Fox, CBS, CNN, the Discovery Channel, History Channel, PBS, etc. And he's involved, and he's created something called the Prometheus Process, and he believes that if the Prometheus Process were applied to ISIS, we could deal with this enemy very effectively. John Warden III, welcome to the program.
Jerry, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Sure. First of all, can you explain to us what is the Prometheus process? And by the way, I have to say that name took me by surprise a little bit, only in the sense that a lot of times when people use the name Prometheus, often it's being promoted by, let's say, more atheistic type groups or whatever. There's a Prometheus Press, which famously publishes a lot of anti-religious books, etc.
Well, so the when we were looking for a name for the for our strategy process, which I'll describe briefly here in a second, we were looking for something that would be evocative, exciting, et cetera. And so we came on the thought of using Prometheus from the obviously from the ancient Greek mythology, and for two major reasons. That one, that under that mythology, he was the one that gave man foresight, the ability to think ahead, which put man above everything else. And then the gift of fire, which combined with the ability to think ahead, just had some pretty extraordinary effects. So it seemed like a pretty good name for a strategy process.
Okay, so then skeptics that created, for example, the Prometheus Press, they've kind of stolen this guy and made him one of their own, but we could just say, hey, he's one of ours too. He's a hero, not a villain. But anyway, what is the Prometheus process, and then how would it relate to the crisis of ISIS?
Well, so the Prometheus process is the name that we gave to the commercial to the process that we use with the companies, big companies like Texas Instruments, McDonald's, startups, a whole range of companies, to help them learn how to be more strategic in what they do and how to put together strategic plans. And the process flowed from what I had used to develop the first Gulf War, which worked out pretty well. So we knew that the concepts worked very well in the military world, and then subsequently found out that they worked quite nicely in the commercial world as well, and in fact in family world for that matter, because strategy is kind of strategy. And by applying the basic ideas that we can get a much better picture of what we ought to be doing with an organization like the Islamic State.
Okay, so explain the process.
Well, the essence of the process is at the very first level is that everything you do ought to be based on the idea of future back. In other words, you define where it is, what you want to be doing in the future, and then work backwards from there to figure out how to make that a reality. Because we find that if you don't do that and you just start going off reacting to daily events or to tactical events, as we call them, that pretty soon that you find that you're wandering in directions that you have no understanding of where you are, how you got there, what difference it makes, and so on and so forth. But if you start in the future, you always know exactly where you're going to end up, and then it's merely a matter of figuring out the best way to get there. So that's the high level view of the thing, and we break it down into four components. The first one of which is really coming up with a very, very high resolution, very definite future picture. So this is what we are going to be, what our opponent, what our market is going to be at a specific time frame in the future. Second idea then is to understand that in order to get to that future picture, that you need to change your environment. You need to change your own organization, and you need to change the enemy if you're talking about an Islamic State, or you need to change a market. You do that by identifying the leverage points, the control points, or as we call them, the centers of gravity within the systems that need to be changed. You focus your resources on those centers of gravity. You do it in parallel in a compressed period of time in order to give yourself the highest probability of success. And the last thing that you do is, before you even start doing any of this, that you decide how you are going to transition from either from success or from failure. So you have an easy to follow template for developing strategy that you can apply in a commercial world. You can apply it in a military world.
Well, it's interesting, since ISIS has arisen out of, well, both Syria and Iraq. We had a situation with the Iraq War, especially the second Iraq War under George W. Bush, where we won the war easily, or so it seemed, but it was hard to win the peace. But now, jumping ahead to where we are today, how would all these principles that you're talking about apply to dealing with ISIS?
Well, so the first thing that we would do is obviously is we would acknowledge exactly what we're dealing with, and
A JV team? No, I'm sorry, but that's what the president called
team.
ISIS, yeah.
Oh, gosh, anything but, yeah. And in fact, as much as we detest their methodology and all the rest, you have got to be extraordinarily impressed with what they have done and how competent that they have been in what they have done. Yeah, you're probably much more of an expert on this than I am, but as far as I can tell, this is probably the most significant resurgence or movement of sort of pure Islam, if you will, maybe since the days of the breakout from Mecca and Medina many years ago. I can't think of another similar sort of a thing. There have been countries that have been Islamic that have done things, but it not as a sort of, you know, as a representation of pure Islam. So it's pretty interesting what they've accomplished, and it's pretty dangerous too.
Well, it is interesting that the president and many liberals are not willing to even call Islamic State Islamic when that's exactly what they claim to be. And in fact, I saw a political cartoon where it showed two Muslims from Islamic State, you know, worshiping, and then they had a TV on, and Obama apparently was talking, and then one of them turns to the other and says, What does he think we are, Mormons? You know, it's crazy.
Exactly.
But I mean, you're right. How can we possibly deal with this enemy if we won't even identify them as the enemy?
Well, it makes it pretty tough, doesn't it? And I mean, and really, as far as I can see, at any rate, that they have been that the theology of the Islamic State is pretty darn solid from an Islam standpoint.
Yeah, in other words, they're basing what they're doing on the Quran. You may say, well,
yeah,
they're
exactly.
misinterpreting it, whatever. Okay, that's one thing, but it isn't as if it just comes out of nowhere. It does come from their understanding of the Quran, and then I would also add of the Hadith, which is the sayings and the actions of Muhammad. Okay, we have a few minutes left. We're talking about John Warden III. Do you have a website you want to mention? Go ahead.
It is adventurist.com.
Adventurist.com.
Venturist.com.
Okay, so help us to understand, what would you do if you were in charge of, let's say, the army in trying to contain or totally defeat ISIS?
Well, so I would just soon not be in charge of the army if you gave me that job, but if I were in charge of U.S. Military operations, what I would do is I would say that my objective is to see the Islamic State destroyed as a functioning organization, so it is no longer controlling any territory, so that it, under its own rules, it can no longer be a caliphate. Then I would identify the key parts of the Islamic State, its leadership, its money, its transportation, a whole variety of things that allow it to function. I would bring those under intense air attack. I would do it in a very short period of time at a rate that is far exceeds what we have done so far, which has been rather desultory. And I believe that within several months, or if not less, that the Islamic State would no longer be functional. I would also make darn sure that we weren't keeping its natural enemies, people like Assad in Syria, from dealing effectively or making a contribution to dealing with it, as well as I would be providing some arms to the nascent resistance movements in places like Mosul, and I would be doing other things to make sure that everybody in the area was focused on this real, real menace, and we would get rid of it in a short period of time. And I don't think it would be very expensive from a U.S. standpoint.
You know, what's interesting is you mentioned the resistance forces and so forth. The problem is, and I think this is a real problem within Islam, and I'll just be blunt, we could support those resistance forces, and then a few years down the line, they may end up becoming the new ISIS or the new Al-Qaeda or the new Islamic group that is killing the Christians and killing the Jews and killing the innocents.
Quite so. One of the advantages we have in this particular area, though, is that a number of the people that have been subjugated by the Islamic State are actually Shias. So the threat from the Shias is dramatically less than I think that it really is from the Sunnis, if for no other reason than the Shias are such a minority in the Islamic world.
Well, okay, but my mind instantly thinks of Iran, and that's virtually all Shias, right? And, Iran, if they get the nuclear bomb, they'll go after the little Satan, which is Israel, and the great Satan, which is America.
Well, they might, but one of the things that I think to keep in mind is that, yeah, the Iranians are Shias, but the Iranians are also Persians. And so that combination of both the ethnic background as well as the difference in religion means that at least on a temporary basis, that you really need to think a little bit in terms of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the nuclear thing that's downstream a little bit, and maybe it's been pushed back a bit by what is going on with these talks. The Islamic State is today, and I'd like to deal with that today, and then we can figure out how to deal with the longer-term kinds of issues.
Okay, so in other words, what you would advise if you had the opportunity, let's say, to speak to the president or the Pentagon or whatever, is let's first deal with ISIS because this is a burning crisis, really. In other words,
exactly.
It's urgent.
It is very urgent because if you look at the reception that they're getting in a variety of places from Africa, Libya, Egypt, Afghanistan, this could metastasize in a very short period of time into something that was controlling really millions and millions of people and vast wealth, including even Saudi Arabia, which I suspect is not as which I suspect is more vulnerable than we might like to think that it is.
Mm. Okay, any concluding thought on this whole issue of dealing with ISIS?
Part of the issue that comes up is that people say, well, but it's a religious issue, and you can't use military force to deal with a religious problem, which isn't entirely true. So what you simply have got to do in your mind is you've got to break off the two. So we've got a religious issue that's going to be with us for a long time, as it has been with us for a long time. But the Islamic State as a physical manifestation is something that, in fact, we can deal with rather quickly without regard to the religious aspect of the state itself.
Okay. Well, again, Colonel John Warden III, thank you so much for joining us. Your website is adventurist.com.
Jerry, thank you very much.
Enjoy. All right. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.